seriously popular.
Life is full of what-ifs. Some awesome, like what if AI could fold your laundry? And some, well, less awesome, like what if you have unexpected medical costs? UnitedHealthcare can help get you covered with Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans. They supplement your primary plan to help you manage out-of-pocket costs. No deductibles, no enrollment periods, and especially no more what-ifs. Visit uh1.com to find the Health Protector Guard plan for you.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
Hey, it's Ryan Reynolds, and I'm here with Keith, co-star of my upcoming film, If, only in theaters May 17th. Do you want to tell people the big news? All right, I'll do. Sign up now and you'll get unlimited for $15 a month and 6 months of Paramount Plus Essential Plan on us.
MintMobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 equivalent to $15 per month. Unlimited over 40 gigabytes per month. Face lower speeds. Videos at 480p. Active Mint customers by 5/31/24 get 6 months of Paramount Plus Essential Plan. Auto renews after 6 months. Offer ends May 31st, 2024. Separate Paramount Plus registration required. Terms and conditions apply if rated PG.
Yesterday, 12th January 2022, Gardaí from Tullamore Garda Station attended to an incident following a call from a member of the public.
It is every woman's worst nightmare. Whoever is responsible for this will face the full rigours of the law.
From the team that brought you the trial of Lucy Letby, this is The Trial, Aisling Murphy.
On the 12th of January 2022, Aisling Murphy, a schoolteacher, was killed in the Irish town of Tullamore. Her funeral was attended by thousands, and many more attended vigils for her across the world.
Joseph Pushka is now on trial, accused of her murder. He denies the charges against him. I'm Nicola Byrne, Deputy News Editor for The Mail on Sunday in Ireland. I'll be in court every day, reporting on the trial as it happens.
And I'm broadcaster and journalist Caroline Cheatham. Together, we'll examine what's happened in court and bring you the details behind the headlines.
This is your story to tell, not mine.
Those were the words of Michael Bowman, the defence counsel for Joseph Pushka, as his client moved into the witness box at Dublin Central Criminal Court to give evidence as he protests his innocence to the murder of Aisling Murphy.
Today we'll bring you that story, and it's the first time the prosecution, the jury, Aisling's family, or we the journalists have heard it.
Joseph Pushka's story is that he did not murder Aisling Murphy, but he said he witnessed it.
He said the same man who killed Aisling also attacked him, stabbing him 3 times in the stomach.
He also said he had no recollection of making a confession to the murder.
Welcome to episode 6. Joseph Pushka takes the stand.
Nicola, we should start today by explaining what happened in court late yesterday, because we weren't sure at that point if Joseph Pushka would give evidence in his defence, because, you know, there's no obligation for him to do so. The jury have been told numerous times the onus is on the prosecution to prove their case. So it was a really tense moment, wasn't it, in court 13 yesterday, as he took the stand at 3:34 in the afternoon. And Nicola, it was also the first time that we saw Aisling's parents, Ray and Kathleen, leave the courtroom.
Yes, Caroline, we've mentioned this previously in the podcast, that her parents have been sitting in the main benches of the court alongside many other members of their family. Aisling's sister Amy, her brother Cathal, and Aisling's partner Ryan, throughout this trial, which is now in its third week. And as you say, this was the first time that her parents left the courtroom.
All right, so let's go back to that moment when Joseph Pushka took the stand. So he was wearing a dark grey jacket and a pair of beige trousers. But his hair wasn't scraped back this time into that sort of neat ponytail that we've got used to seeing. It was slicked back still, but it was left down. And as he took his seat in the witness box, he was sitting with a female translator, and it was explained that she would be translating the questions from Michael Bowman, the defence barrister, and also from Anne-Marie Lawler, the prosecution barrister, and also she would be translating Joseph Pushka's answers. And Nicola, several of his family members are now sitting in court.
Yes, a bench at the back of the courtroom has now been reserved for Joseph Pushka's family, and that's been full over the last few days.
So today what we're going to do is we're going to outline these various exchanges that we heard in court. And as usual, we're going to use actors to voice up what they said, because as is in the UK, we can't use microphones or cameras inside the courtroom here. Joseph Pushka was answering through a female translator, so her words will be voiced up as well.
And we need to start with what Joseph Pushka said happened that bright, sunny day on January the 12th last year when Aisling Murphy was stabbed and died on the Grand Canal.
He told the jury he left his home in Mucklagh at around 11:30 in the morning and was cycling towards Tullamore. He said he was trying to find his brother. And when he was asked if he remembered seeing a woman with her dog, he said yes, he remembered seeing her near to the McDonald's in the town. So he was asked if he'd been following her, because that's what she told the court in her evidence had happened. And you remember, this was a woman called Anne-Marie Kelly, and she'd got very concerned about what she said was Joseph Pushka cycling very, very close behind her for quite a long time in the town and along the canal bank. Now, he admitted that he had been riding slowly and said at one point he lit a cigarette, but he denied following her, and he also denied staring at her.
I was behind her. I was riding the same way, and I was riding all over town. I had no intention of following anybody at all. There was no bad intention whatsoever. I was riding the same way. I was riding all around town.
He told the court that he liked to cycle as he was trying to get fit so he could return to work. He said he had an injury to his back and he was on medication. And we did find out a little bit more about him this week.
Yeah, we did actually. He said he had a really close family in Slovakia. Although his grandmother had died 2 years ago, his uncle was still there. So he'd still had a link to Slovakia. And when he first came to Ireland, he lived in central Dublin with his wife and two children at that point. And it was in 2015 that he moved to Tullamore. And at the time when Aisling was killed, he was at that point living in a 5-bedroom house with his wife. And by then they had 5 children.
He said he'd worked on building sites until he had that accident and slipped a disc in his back. Now he said he could no longer do sports, play football or work. He said he was on painkillers. The amount he took varied each week by the amount of pain he was in.
Yeah, so we know that he was cycling that day, and we know that was one of the ways that he was trying to get fit. And he told his defence barrister, Michael Bowman, that on January the 12th, after cycling around the town, he began cycling along the canal towpath between Digby Bridge and the N52 flyover. And he said at this point, he saw a man that he didn't know, and this man started shouting at him. And then the man pushed him off his bike.
That was when I fell down. He pushed me on the floor and he sat on me. He said something, but I really didn't understand what he was trying to tell me. And then he pulled the knife and he started threatening me that he would hurt me, he would kill me. That was when he pulled the knife and stabbed me in the stomach.
He said the man who was wearing a surgical mask, like the ones people were wearing during the pandemic, he then stabbed him a second time.
He kept shouting something. I really don't know what.
After a few minutes, he said, a lady appeared.
I didn't know her. She said something to him and he started shouting at her. That man stabbed me again. That was the moment he stood up and he walked or went towards that woman. While he went towards the woman, I stayed on the floor, lying down.
He said the man and woman disappeared among the bushes to the side of the towpath and he then stood up. He heard shouting and moved a few metres from where he saw that the man and woman were in the bushes.
When I came there, I started shouting, and what I saw was that he attacked that lady. She was attacked. Then I shouted at him and he came towards me and I kept going backwards from him.
Nicola, at this point, the courtroom was packed and utterly silent as Joseph Pushka continued his version of what happened that day. And what he said happened next was quite significant.
He said after the attack, he saw the man running away towards Digby Bridge. And at this point, he said he went to help Aisling as she lay in the ditch. He said he got off the towpath and went behind her because he was scared that the man could come back.
That was the moment that I fell into the bushes. Once I saw her, she was injured. I was trying to help her. I tried to use her shawl or scarf to cover her injuries. I don't know how long this was going on for.
We heard that next he saw another lady coming along who we now know was Jenna Stack.
She appeared in front of me and said something that I did not understand. I really wanted to stand up and pulled my leg really hard and shouted. The woman started running. I was scared. I was in shock. Then I was really stressed.
He said he ran from the ditch where Aisling lay covered in blood and he ran into a field and he hid in another ditch for several hours. He told the court that he fell asleep or lost consciousness and when he woke up, it was dark. He said he got a lift home and then he was taken to his parents' home in Dublin. And the following morning, he was taken to hospital because he said he started to vomit blood.
At that point, Nicola, he was asked by Michael Bowman, his defence counsel, if he remembered speaking to the detectives in the hospital and later making a confession, but he said he couldn't recall it. We'll take a quick break there.
Cool fact, a crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Also, you can get health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. United Healthcare short-term insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
So, Nicola, Joseph Pushka was then cross-examined by Anne-Marie Lawler for the prosecution. And she made it clear from the outset, didn't she, that this was the first time she was hearing this version of events. And in fact, she said to him that she'd been dealing with this case for 18 months. And this was the first time she'd heard this story. And during some of her questioning, Joseph Pushka took quite long drinks of water from a plastic cup.
We are going to be some time. I have had this case for months, and I'm only hearing about this now. I'm here to hear what you say, Mr. Pushka, because I'm as curious as everybody else. You've had 18 to 20 months to come up with this story. You confessed to a murder, but you were actually witness to it. I need to understand your new story. Despite being the witness to a murder, you firstly confessed to it. You're saying you don't remember that, and then you told the Gardaí you knew nothing about it. You have concocted yet another set of lies for the jury. I'm not going to play games here.
So she asked him what he was doing in the hours before Aisling was killed, and in particular she wanted to know if he'd been following Anne-Marie Kelly as she walked her dog around Tullamore and then onto the canal path.
You were following a woman on Church Road, isn't that right?
That is not the truth.
Maybe that word is causing difficulty for you. Did you cycle very slowly behind Anne-Marie Kelly? You're in the habit of following women around Tullamore.
She then asked if he'd been staring at her.
Not staring, but I looked. Yes, that's a possibility.
He said he was looking for his brother, who was in Tullamore with his wife at the dentist. He wanted his brother to go home and get his mobile phone for him.
At 14:17, you were at Boland's Lock. You were behind Anne-Marie Kelly. You weren't looking for your brother and you weren't looking for your phone.
So another big moment in court today was Joseph Pushka was asked about this alleged confession that we've been told he made to detectives in the hospital. And when he was asked about this by Anne-Marie Lawler, he didn't deny giving that confession, but he said he couldn't remember it.
Caroline, he said he could remember very little of what he told the detectives who visited him in hospital. He did remember being concerned for the safety of his family, though. But Anne-Marie Lawler said she was more concerned about Aisling's problems.
In terms of you trying to help Aisling Murphy, I want to ask you about that.
I was trying to move the shawl higher to where the injury was.
Was she still moving and alive when you were with her?
Yes.
And you say your efforts were towards assisting her?
Yes.
You could tell she was dying?
Yes.
So I take it, knowing she was dying, you were urgently trying to assist her.
Well, I was trying to help her.
Miss Lawler then asked him about the woman who saw him and Aisling in the ditch.
You shouted at her?
No, I was not shouting at her. I was shouting because I was in pain.
Did you say to her, help, help, or anything along those lines? Any words like that?
At that moment, I did not say anything because when I shouted, then these persons ran away.
Did you just stay there and watch Aisling die?
I left after a few moments.
Did you wait until after she was dead?
I can't just help her because it's not in my power. I left.
And you left and went and hid in a ditch for hours. Is that right?
Not that I hid. I had no strength. I couldn't continue.
You weren't trying to help her. There was no other man.
Yes, there was.
You stabbed Aisling Murphy 11 times and sliced her neck.
No, it wasn't me.
She, in a desperate attempt to save herself, scratched you.
No, she didn't hurt me at all.
I'm going to put to you that you've lied consistently in this investigation and you're lying today. I've nothing further.
So earlier, Nicola, the court had heard that Joseph Pushka denied ever seeing or knowing Aisling during 5 Garda interviews recorded over the 18th and 19th of January at Tullamore Garda Station after he was arrested following his discharge from St James's Hospital.
He was told that scrapings from Aisling's fingernails had been taken during her post-mortem examination and that material in the form of human tissue had been found. He was asked repeatedly by the detectives about the DNA found under her fingernails, but he said he didn't want to comment on it.
He was also told that Aisling taught children in primary school, and he said he had a son who was about to go into first class. He was also told that a post-mortem examination had revealed that she'd been stabbed 11 times in the neck and that she'd been murdered savagely in broad daylight. And he told the police during that interview that he understood.
He was also told in the police interviews that Aisling had fought for her life, and Sergeant Paura Canley told him, when they struggle for their lives, they use their nails to defend.
Now, during his evidence that he gave today, he also denied fleeing Tullamore after that attack, and he denied changing his appearance by shaving off his beard after he arrived at his parents' address in Dublin.
Caroline, he said he didn't remember what he told his parents or his brothers that night. And he said he only shaved off his beard because he wanted to see where the scratches were on his face.
So, Nicola, we're really nearing the end of this trial now. We're expecting a bit more evidence next week and the closing statements may well start on Monday afternoon. At some point after that, the jury will be sent out to consider their verdict.
And just to remind you, Joseph Pushka has pleaded not guilty to the charge of murder.
We'll be back next week with more updates from the court. In the meantime, you can follow us at The Trial Podcast and you can follow me at Radio Caroline.
See you then.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
Hi, I'm Megan Rinks.
And I'm Melissa D. Montz.
And like every other person with access to a microphone, we started a podcast.
On Mondays, we release Don't Blame Me, which is an advice podcast where listeners call in and we share our thoughts on situations such as what to do if you're going to your boyfriend's family function and you haven't told him that you previously slept with both his twin brothers.
Then on Thursdays, we release our podcast, But Am I Wrong?, where we ethically gossip about pop culture, politics, our lives, and your lives. Listeners write in and we tell them if they're wrong or right in a situation. Are you the hero or the villain?
On Tuesdays and Fridays, we throw in a little something extra as well.
Well, something, something. We strive to create a community grounded in activism, mental health, and inclusivity. Think of us as like your blunt, honest friends who give you advice that you need to hear, not what you want to hear. But we're also always rooting for your success. What we lack in credentials, we make up for in
opinions.
We do that in every episode too.
We're professional unprofessionals, so if you're looking for a new slate of podcasts to add to your routine, we're here for you.
Acast recommends.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.